I'm going to give them out Saturday morning at 9:30 Saturday morning. Everybody at will. And we're going to be giving these out for Sunday night, our back-to-school youth rally. And we are excited about it. Back to school. Give me up just a hair, if you would, please. Just a hair. Back-to-school youth rally. Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Come pray. Bring somebody with you. And Lord will bless you for it. Okay? All right. Now, tonight, I want you to get your Bibles open, and we're going to do just a little Bible study thought here this evening that I believe will really be a blessing to you. And turn to John chapter 12, the book of John chapter 12, right quick, just for a minute tonight. John chapter number 12, and we'll look here at verse number 2. Wait a minute, I'm on the wrong. I might be. I'm wanting a verse over in Hebrews, and I'm wanting one here in John 2, and I got them backwards. Might be Hebrews 12 2. Hebrews 12 2. Yeah. Hebrews 12 2. And then maybe somebody can find me that one in John. Well, they come and said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Where's somebody get me that one right quick? "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Late and about halfway through the book of John there. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." There's one of the main secrets of the Christian life. You got to learn to look to Jesus. If you don't learn to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, you ain't going to make it in the Christian life. You look around you, you get too discouraged. You look at people, they'll let you down. You look at yourself, you're a flop. You learn how to keep your eyes on the Lord. If there's one thing I've learned since I've been serving God, you have got. Are you listening, folks? You have got to learn to keep your eyes on the Lord. You can't. You remember when Peter stepped out there? If you looked around you, if you look around at your circumstances, he's starting to sink. As long as he looked at Jesus, he made it fine. But when he started looking around, "Oh, what about this? No, what about that? No, this is wrong." That, he started sinking. So you have to learn to look to the Lord. Now, did you find that verse for him, brother? Somebody find it? Oh, I was right. 12, right chapter, wrong verse. 12:21. John 12:21. I want you to look at this verse here. And this is what we need tonight here at Shining Light Baptist Church. This is what you need as an individual. The Lord never said your life be perfect. Mine sure ain't. But He did give us some good advice here. John 12:21. The same came to therefore to Philip, which was Bethsaida of Galilee, desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." We would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. My main request for God tonight for our church would be that when we come to church, we could see Jesus. Amen. Listen, people. Listen to me. We have got to come to church and come to see the Lord. You got to come to see the Lord. Now, I know some people don't understand that. They say, "What do you mean see the Lord? You can't see the Lord." Yes, you can. You can see Him. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus. We see Him, it's invisible. There's been many a time when what helped me over the hump in my life was seeing Him. You've heard me tell this story before, and it's happened here, it's happened in our church here, it's happened over in the old building. I'll never forget, one time I was in a camp meeting somewhere, and I believe it was in Florida, and Larry Winkler from over in Lenore was preaching. And old Larry, he's one of them glory preachers. Sometimes he'll just get in the glory. And he was up slinging his arms and slinging his legs and bragging on Jesus and exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was sitting there, and it was just like you was just getting... You know, you've been in a circle where it just got higher and higher and higher and higher. And I was sitting on this side of the church, and I was sitting there watching Brother Larry preach, And I'm telling you, people, for just a few seconds, I seen past him and I had my eyes on the Lord. And it was like I didn't even see the preacher no more. I was seeing who he's talking about. And that's the secret of staying in church. Listen, if you learn how to do that, if you'll learn how to do that, you'll stay in church. If you don't, you will not. If you just look at people, people will let you down. If you just look at yourself, that's a bigger flop. You've got to learn to look to Jesus. You've got to learn to look for Him. You've got to learn to look to Him. You've got to learn to look at Him. I remember that. And buddy, I was ready to, like the old preacher said, I was ready to charge hell with a water pistol when I left there. I'm telling you, I was ready to, amen. I was a court of God. I'm ready to go preach. I'm ready because I got a glimpse. That one song says, one glimpse of His dear face. All sorry. How many of y'all can think of times when you was in church and all of a sudden, buddy, you didn't even know nobody else was there? It's just you and the Lord. Maybe you was praying. That's happened a lot of times when we was praying. Get down on your knees, get in a good prayer meeting. You get down there and say, oh, God, be real to you. And all of a sudden, buddy, you just got in the heaven, the heavenly places or whatever. And buddy, it was like you and the Lord. You was right before the throne and you was there. You say, that's never happened to me, preacher. Well, you need to look to Him. Look past me and see Him. Look past, I wouldn't drive from Drexel to this church to see Danny Castle. I ain't worth seeing. And ain't no other preacher in this town worth it neither. Driving to see. You know what? But you know why? You know why people come and hear me preach? You know why people go hear any preacher preach? Because they think, maybe he'll show me Jesus. Maybe he'll show me Jesus. Ladies, one time I was preaching up there in Marion and some girl told me, said, Brother Danny, she said, I know you think I'm crazy, but you was up there preaching and I seen a halo over your head. I said, I do think you're crazy. You're absolutely right. You did not see no halo over my head. There ain't no such thing as halos that I know of. I don't reckon there is such thing. some of them halos, ain't they're horns sticking out there on most people. But I ain't got no halo, but I can point you to somebody that can help you. I can say, look past me and see Him. Look beyond me and look at the one I'm talking about. And He'll help you tonight. Now, I want to say, we need to see the Lord tonight. Let's all sort of get in the habit of when we come to church, we want to see the Lord. Said, man, I'm telling you, I went to church and I was burdened down and I was tore up. And this has happened to me before. I went to church so low, I thought I'd look up to see the bottom. But buddy, when I left, I was walking that high above ground. You know why? Seen the Lord. Seen the Lord. And it don't have to be camp meeting. It don't have to be a packed out house. It don't have to be Hallelujah Howard sitting over there. Brother, listen. Hey, some people think if you ain't got a big singing group up here and a big Hallelujah and a bunch of people shout, that you can't. That ain't true. I've seen the Lord in a little old prayer meeting with 8 or 10 guys, 17, 18 years old, down the living room floor. I've seen the Lord with a bunch of teenagers at my house singing and praying. I've seen the Lord. One night, I was preaching a revival up at Faith Baptist Church in North Cove, way up above Marion. And it was when I first started preaching, and you know me, my philosophy has always been, if I can go, I'm going. And the only reason I ain't going is if I can't. That's it. That's it. I know some of y'all don't believe in that. You believe whatever you want to. We'll stand before God. My philosophy is, if I can make it to church, I'm going by God's grace. If I can go, I'm going by God's grace. Because if you let one thing stop you, it won't be long you let another thing stop you. And I had a little old Volkswagen that I bought off my daddy. Daddy had this little Volkswagen and he used it for coon hunting. He put the back seat down and had a coon dog box in there. And it smelled awful and I bought it from him. Got all that old smell out of it and I drove it. And the little Volkswagen bugs, them old ones, would go real good in the snow. I don't know if you ever had one of them things, but everything would go in the snow because the motor is in the back. And it snowed all day long. It snowed, Lord have mercy. I bet it was probably 5-6 inches deep that evening. We was going to revival. And my cousin was going with me. And my mom, because she said, Danny, there ain't no way you can drive that little old car up to North Cove. And I said, if I can, I am. Only reason I ain't going is if I can't. If I can, I am. And she said, no, son. Said, them people understand. They won't even have church. They don't want it. And, you know, everybody didn't have phones then. You couldn't call. You didn't know. You didn't know how to get a hold of people. Well, we started. And I went up that little old Volkswagen, and tell you the truth, I like to get out in the snow anyway and play around. And we drove that little Volkswagen up that road. Sometimes it was just one set of tracks, and it was cold, snow about that deep. And we pulled into the parking lot of that church late. I think the preacher and about three or four other people was there. I think there might have been six all together. The church, the whole church, was probably about as big as maybe one of our sections right here. And that little old country church, the pastor, me, my cousin, and I think about three other people that live real close could walk, and that was it. And I come walking in there that night, and the preacher said, Brother, I didn't know if you'd make it or not. And I said, well, I'm here. Glory to God, let's have church. And somebody got up and sung, and we prayed. And he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, whatever you want me to do. And buddy, I got up and I preached, and we got to singing and shouting, and we had the best service that night that we had the whole meeting. I mean, God fell in that place. The Holy Ghost moved. The Lord is all over. I mean, we shouted. We cried. It wasn't fake. It wasn't like, well, we're here in the snow, so we're more. It wasn't like that. I mean, God got all over that thing. And you know what I found out? You don't have to have a big crowd to see Jesus. You don't have to have a famous singing group to see Jesus. You don't have to have a big woof to do to see Jesus. You don't have to have a big push like the youth rally or something like that to see Jesus. You can sit right there in your seat tonight and by faith with a pure heart look right past me and look at that sign there and say, the Lord is here, and I'm going to get my eyes on Him. Some of you right here tonight, you got up backslid this morning. And the bad thing about being backslid is you don't want to read your Bible and pray, and then you get more backslid. And that's what you don't understand. You got to do it when you don't want to. If you never get nothing else I say through your head, get that through your head. Do it when you don't want to. Do it when you don't feel like it. And it won't be long, but you will be feeling like it. It won't be long. Listen, I went and preached so many times. I felt like the last thing in the world I wanted to do is preach. But before I got through, I'm feeling it right now. I am. I'm about to shout right now, glory to God. God's good. God's still on the throne. He's taking care of us. He's coming back one day. We're going to live with Jesus, people. We're not going to ever get sick. We're never going to die. We're never going to be sorry. We're not going to hell. Woo! Hallelujah. It's good to be saved. I'm just teaching a little lesson. Amen. Listen, we can look and see Jesus tonight. We can see the Lord. Now, I want to say two or three things about it tonight. Let me say, I'll never get to all this, I'm sure, because I've done talked so long. We want to see Jesus when we're burdened with sin. We're burdened with sin. A lot of times, the reason we're miserable is because we're sinning. Amen? A lot of people say, well, I'm just miserable in my Christian life because we're sinning a lot of times. Now, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you're living the best you can and the devil's just fighting you. But other times it's because you're sinning. And you won't quit sinning. And you're making, our battles are self-made. We bring it on ourselves. I'll admit to you, a lot of trouble I've had in my life, I brought it on myself. I brought it on myself. I can't blame nobody but me. And when we're burdened with sin, we need to look to the Lord. Somebody said something the other day, it's human nature when you're sinning to pull back from God. Just like Adam and Eve did. They sinned and they got down behind that tree and hid. That's human nature. Human nature is, I ain't going to church. I ain't going to church. Now that's human nature. But the opposite should be true. When we're burdened with sin, that's when we need to see Jesus. That's when we need to see Him. The woman at the well, Nicodemus, all them people in the Bible. Brother David. Old David comes to the Lord one time. He said, God, have mercy on me. For I've sinned. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. He said, God, I've got the wrong spirit. Lord, I know I'm messed up. God, help me. God, help me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Create in me a clean heart. That's when we need to see Jesus. When we're burdened with sin. Amen. there at the cross. At the cross. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now, I'm happy all the day. Come see a man. Like the woman at the well said. She said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. She said, I met this man and he took my sins away and I want you to meet him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're having burden, if you're burdened down, you need to see the Lord. You need to see the Lord. There's your answer. Your answer ain't getting drunk. Your answer is not going out somewhere and getting high. That's just going to make it worse. Because you got to come back down. Then your problems is worse. And then you're saved. And the Lord's going to beat you. He's going to whip you. He's going to chastise you. The thing to do is say, Lord, I need to get to you. I need to get to Jesus. Number two, we need to see the Lord when we come to worship. When we come to church. The deadest thing in the world is a dead church service where God ain't. Amen? When you see Pastor Preacher, I'm telling you, I remember I got a hold of it. When I first got saved, I stand up in the choir up there at Nebo Baptist Church, and they were saying, this is my story, this is my song. And all of a sudden, them words got real to me, and I started thinking, glory to God, this is my story. This is my song. If I wish I could get that in y'all's heart. What makes church real is when it's you and the Lord and you're worshiping Him and you don't even know or care if anybody else is. I've heard preachers get up and say, now, if you can't amen me, I can't preach. Lord, you better hope you don't ever preach on the street. They don't amen you, they cuss you. Amen? Listen, my joy don't depend on whether you amen me or not. I hope you do, and you ought to, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you don't. But I'm not going to let you determine whether I feel like I'm hooked up with God or not. I'm not going to say, well, if they say amen, I done good, and if they don't, I didn't do good. It ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm not going to say, well, so-and-so raised their hand, so I must have preached good. You don't determine whether or not I worship God or not. Amen? I like what old Larry Winkler said. He said, if a man's right with God, he can come in and sit down beside 99 red demons and say, scoot over, I've come to worship. And I believe that. I believe that. I believe if you want a blessing, there ain't enough devils in hell to stop you from getting one. Old sister so-and-so's flapper jaws, old so-and-so that done you wrong and a business deal, they can't stop you from getting a blessing. Amen. He said, man, my wife fussed all week. And if you're not, listen, she can't stop you from getting a blessing if you get your heart right. He can't stop you, ladies, from getting a blessing. If you'll get your heart right, God will pour it out on you. Amen. Amen. Well, I remember I saw the Lord at Bethel. I saw the Lord at Nebo Baptist. I saw the Lord up in the woods at my house. I've saw the Lord lots of times when I was praying. I saw Him when I worshiped. I'm not talking about something spooky. I'm not talking about something weird. I'm not talking about something fleshly. I'm just talking about, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some kind of weirdo experience in the third dimension or something. I'm just talking about when you get down and you really believe He's there and it's communion. It's just between you and Him. And He walks with me and talks with me. I wouldn't trade that for nothing in this world. I wouldn't. I ain't the best Christian in the world, but I wouldn't trade my walk with the Lord for anything that this world's got to offer. And I mean that with all my heart. I'm not, my life ain't perfect, but I'm happy with who I am and what I am and where I am. I'm happy at Shining Light Baptist Church. I'm happy that God give me a place to preach and God give me a family and God give me brothers like y'all and people I can fellowship with. Listen, I'm glad for y'all. I love y'all. I love our church. Listen, be happy with what you've got and God will bless you when you come to worship. Well, let's think about something else. You know when you need to see Jesus? When you have sorrow. When your heart's broke. When you're hurting. I got a letter from a guy in jail. Nice to know this guy's up in Marion. And I got a letter from him one day. And he poured his heart out saying, I've got right with God in prison. That boy done the right thing. I ran into a young man yesterday. Used to go to church with Brother Jason. I know exactly who I'm talking about. I won't tell him about it. I hadn't seen this boy in years. And I want to tell you a little bit about what he told me. I don't guess he'd mind. He said, Brother Danny, he said, I've been searching for what we used to have. He said, I don't feel it no more. He said, I've been to Afghanistan. And he said, I've been to Iraq. And he said, I've killed people. And all the time I said, wow, man. He said, I kill kids. He said, I kill little kids. He said, how do you get past that? He said, I go to church and he said, I can't find no peace. He said, I can't pray. He said, I can't find it. He said, I've been going to a psychiatrist and they evaluate me and they, some kind, not a psychiatrist, but something like a psychiatrist. And they've been giving him counseling and stuff like that. And I called his name and I said, brother, I said, you know what? I don't know what that's like. I ain't never killed nobody. But I said, I'll tell you what I'd do if I was you. I would claim the blood of Jesus over my mind and I'd read the Scripture all the time and play Scripture on CDs with a renewing of my mind. And I said, there's people in the Bible. Paul was a murderer. Moses was a murderer. David was a murderer. And they got over it. They got past it. They got it under the blood. And I said, if you kill under the direction of your commander-in-chief, which was I don't know who, George Bush or something at that time, I guess. I don't know. You're doing the duty of your country. You're not a murderer. Ain't that right? You're not a murderer if you're defending your country. If a man's going to come in here and kill your kids and you shoot him, kill him, you're not a murderer. If you're doing it that way. But still, even that way, it would still bother you. I mean, if you knew you killed kids, it would still bother you, right? Regardless. And if it was an accident, I've always been afraid I'd be flying down the road or something. Kid run out in front of you, run over something. That'd be a hard thing to live down. But I said, plead the blood! Plead the blood! Plead the blood! And I don't know who I'm talking to here tonight. I don't know. There's a pretty good crowd of people in here tonight. But there's somebody in here struggling with something really, really bad. And it's something you've done or something that's bothering you bad. And I'm going to tell you tonight, plead the blood. Plead the blood. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. You don't need no psychiatrist. You need the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all sin. I'm not saying a little counseling can't help. In certain cases, it can. I'm not saying it ain't good. But I'm going to tell you what, buddy. I've been through some bad stuff. And you know how I got the victory? By putting my face in that book right there and saying, Lord, I know you're there. Will you help me? And letting the blood cleanse me and renew my mind. By the renewing of your mind. Amen? By the renewing. Listen, if you've been through something bad, or you've sinned really bad, or you've really messed up, you blew your testimony, let me tell you what to do. Bathe yourself in this book right here. Lay on your face and put yourself, wallow in that thing right there, and beg the Lord to cleanse you in the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the Word of God, can do what no counselor, no psychiatrist, and the Lord knows you sure don't need to take a pill to get rid of something that's bothering your conscience. A pill ain't got nothing to do with your conscience. Amen? Medicine's for your body. The blood of Jesus Christ is for your soul and your conscience and your mind and your spirit and the Word of God. So when you have sorrow and shadows of life, plead the blood. Plead the blood. I invited that boy to church. He said he'd try to come Sunday night. You know what he told me? He said he remembered my UFO presentation back in 1997. And I was ahead of my time, buddy. I'm telling you I was. I ain't kidding you. I was right on that stuff. And the Lord gave me that stuff. And the devil hit like crazy. We had World War III nearly. And there's some writer up in the newspaper over in Old Fort printing out this little paper, and I'd been in the newspaper and some preacher blasted me and some of the boys from the church was going to go beat him up and all kind of stuff was happening. You wouldn't believe it. You would not believe the controversy that stirred up in Marion. And boys come in one day and they had the newspaper and said, he's crossed the line. And he said, we're going to go beat him up, Brother Dan. I said, no, you're not either. I said, y'all just looking for excuse to beat somebody up. I said, leave him alone. And they quoted in the paper, Castle, they put it in the newspaper. They said the youth rally, the 1997 youth rally, we had it in that big tent. They said, Castle will present his renowned UFO message. And boy, it turned into a big stink. And he said, now I watch the History Channel every week, and they're saying all that stuff you were saying back then. And he said, I think about it, and I think about it, and I think about it. And I said, well, you know where you get that? You get that in the Bible. The Bible said Satan is transformed as an angel of light. And the Bible said in the tribulation, there's going to be lights come out of the sky. Like stars. Everything in the Bible that's called a star ain't a planet. We think a star is a planet. It's not in the Bible. You think a planet moved over and stood over the manger where Jesus was? No. That wasn't a planet. In the Bible, there's a different definition of star than what science gave them. You say, well, isn't the Bible wrong? No, science is. Yeah. Say amen right there. It's just like anything else. The word gay in the Bible would just mean a frivolous, happy person. Do you think modern generation's right or the Bible's right? The Bible is. All of you should be gay. No, don't. Some of y'all went, no. The true meaning of the word, you know what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about being a pervert. But anyway, we are not gay, for all you people watching this on the internet. By their definition, no. Amen? Absolutely not. All right? When you have sorrow and shadow, look to Jesus. Anybody in here having a hard time? I tell you what you need to do. You say, well, that's too simple, Brother Danny. No, it's profound. Look to the Lord. See Jesus. Get to God. If you can't get to God, get somebody to come to your house and pray with you and get to God. Get to Him. Get to Him. Ladies, get you a prayer partner. Say, come over here and pray me through. Lay hands on me. Cast a demon out of me or whatever needs to be done. Off of me or away from me or whatever. Get the devil. You know demons can get around and mess with you, don't you? You do know that, don't you? And they can mess with your thinking. They can mess with your thought. People say a Christian can't be messed with. You sure can. They can get everything but your soul. And get your eyes, get your ears, get your mouth, get your tongue, get your thoughts, get your brain. Can't get your soul. They can sure get in your flesh. Ain't that right? Bible said, oh, there's a man. One man, Paul told him, he said, thou child, it said that Satan hath filled thine heart. And one guy over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 was committing fornication with his father's wife. And buddy, they turned him over for the destruction of his flesh. Turned him over to Satan. So the devil can get your flesh, y'all. He can get your flesh just like that. And so get it right with God. Give it to the Lord. All right, I'm going to say one more thing. And if y'all got something you want to say, you're welcome to say it. But another time you need to be sure and look to Jesus and see Jesus is when you're dying. I love that song they used to play it on the radio several years ago. It said, and when I come to die, when I come to die somewhere, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. I can't remember exactly. And when it's time to die, give me Jesus. You know what? That's exactly what I want. When it comes time for me to die. I looked at a man dying over there, y'all, a while ago. I watched a man. He may be dead right now. I don't know. He's breathing his last breath. I told her when we come out of the hospice, I said, you know, it's going to be me one of these days unless I just fall over. But everybody in here is going to face that time. And when that time comes, you ain't going to want to talk to some famous baseball player or some movie star or some idiot that runs a bar somewhere uptown. You're going to say, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, when I come to die, when I come, how does that go? Something like that. When I come to die, give me Jesus. That's who I want. That's who I want when it comes my time to die. And that's who you're going to want. I want to get in a habit of seeing Him now. So when I'm dying, I ain't going to be scared silly. Corey, my girls, was over at hospice yesterday. And don't let Corey fool you. She's a deep thinker. You think she's a dumb blonde, and she is. But she thinks deep thoughts sometimes. She thinks deep thoughts sometimes. She sent me a text yesterday evening and said, I would hate to know that I was dying and didn't know what was on the other side. She sent me that text. And I said, honey, That's right. That's, thank God for Jesus. That's what I sent her back. Thank God for Jesus. Because of the Lord, y'all. Because of Jesus Christ, when I lay down and I think I'm going to die, I can say I know I'm ready. Only because I'm looking to Him. Because, buddy, if it was up in my life, I'd be out. And you would too. No hope. Let's learn to look to Him. Look to Him. You look to Him tonight, everything else will fall in place. If you look to the Lord tonight, everything else will work out. Guarantee it. You look to Him. Anybody got a comment? Come on, Miss Desi. Let's just bow our heads for prayer for a minute. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every head bowed. We'll just pray for a minute here tonight. I don't know your circumstances here tonight. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's physical. Maybe